folks. This is Warren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 50. For those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that when I talk about guitars, amps, and pedals, and music, and all, I am conveying my opinion from my experience and learning over the years. Please email me with questions and comments at the info at theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments and such on the show notes or on Facebook. Follow the Guitar Podcast on Facebook. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts where you'll get emails notifying you when a new episode has been released and other timely information regarding the Guitar Podcast. Also, theguitarpodcast.net is your portal to the Guitar Podcast on Facebook and YouTube, and ways to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Zune and so on and so forth. All right, let's get to it. Hey, it's another day of mobile podcasting, and I was certainly hoping that the 50th episode would be have some kind of pomp and circumstance to it, but it's not going to. I've got a long list of questions that have been emailed to me or posted to me on Facebook, so I'm addressing those. That's what you want to know about, and so that's what I'm going to talk about, because, I'm listening to the audience. Anyway, once again, mobile podcast, audio quality, not what you're accustomed to from me, and let me know about your opinion of it. I think the thing is to get the information out there. That's what you want. That's generally what I want from podcasts, get the information. As long as the audio isn't so horrible that you can't stand it, just can't tolerate it, can't understand what the guy is saying. Actually, I listened to one that's borderlines on that. It's really, really bad. It's almost like he used his old Samsung tape recorder from 1983 or something like that. But it works. It works. He gets the message out, so I'm not going to bash him for that. So today, I got an email. Well, it wasn't today. It was earlier this month. Hey, Lauren, enjoy the podcast. Just discovered it and have caught up with the current episode. One suggestion I would like to hear you discuss is buying, selling, and trading used gear on eBay, Craigslist, local stores, etc. How to determine fair prices, how to not get ripped off, and stuff like that. Thanks, man. Jay from Macon, Georgia. All right, Jay, that is a great question, and it's one of the reasons why I moved it actually ahead of other questions that I've received over the last couple months. And it's a question a lot of friends of mine ask me from time to time, or what's the value of this, or what do you think I can get out of that, or hey, is this a fair price that this guy's asking for this guitar, or amp, or pedal, or what should I, how should I price this, and so on and so forth. Well, first thing is I want to address there are two different values to anything. Whether it's a guitar, a pedal, or a car, or an antique, or whatever it is. There's a retail price, and then there's a wholesale price. Now then, let me address, first thing, the wholesale and retail issue. Say you go to a guitar store, and you see a guitar hanging on the wall, or whatever it is, an amp, or an accessory, or whatever it's used, and or new or used, the store owner has a retail price. They have an MSRP, a manufacturer suggested retail price for the item. Usually, that's much higher than what the retailer is actually selling it for. So they can usually mark it down 10, 15, 20% below that, so it appears you're getting a deal. Because some reason MSRP is always just insanely high. I mean, if you get Musician's Friend, the catalog, or go to their website, you'll see the MSRP and then what they're selling it for, and you're like, how in the world do they pull that off? Well, it's because they pay a wholesale price for the item, which is much lower than their price and a whole lot lower than the MSRP. You know, the reality of business is that say the MSRP is $100 and for whatever the item is. I'm just throwing out round numbers to make it easy to understand. So they mark it down their price 10% below, so they show that, hey, the MSRP is $100. Our price is $90, 10% less than MSRP. And you're like, hey, automatically I'm getting a discount. This is cool. Or, you know, $85, which is 15% below. Well, the actual manufacturer's cost of producing the item may only be like $10 or $15 itself. And then they have their markup on it, which is the wholesale price to the retailer, which is your neighborhood guitar store. And that may be, their wholesale price may be $50. And then, so that's the manufacturer's markup, $15 to $50. Okay, so what's that, $35 on markup? That's their profit margin. So then the retailer buys it for $50 and sells it for $35 more, which is $85. And so each step of the way, the profit margin is $35. And, you know, a manufacturer may have a deal with the retailer stating, you cannot sell our product for less than X. So they may say, you can't sell this less than 80 because it diminishes the value, the perceived value of our item, and we don't want that. So, because it's a high quality item, and you know, perception is reality. And a lot of times when you look at a price tag, if it's underpriced, you may think, oh, this is a great deal, especially if you play it and you realize that it's good tone wood and all that stuff. And it plays great, but it's only like $250, $300 brand new. Well, what's wrong with it? Why is it so cheap? Is it really a cheap guitar, you know, piece of crap? But if it's priced, you know, $700, $800, like, hey, this is probably a pretty decent guitar. Hey, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, that mindset, you need to keep that in mind whenever you're going to, say you're going to trade in a guitar or an amp or whatever with a retailer, your neighborhood guitar store or guitar center or whatever, that they can't give you retail on it. You know, your guitar used is worth $700. You say, yeah, I've seen these go for $700 on eBay or whatever. You take it to your neighborhood guitar store, and they can't give you $700. Because they have to have a profit margin on it. They need to buy it wholesale. So when they, what you may consider lowball you at, say, $400 or $500, and you're offended, well, what do you expect? There are several shows on TV right now that I suggest you watch to really get a better understanding of this and get over it, is that watch Pawn Stars, which those guys can be fairly offensive because they are so blunt with their business deals. Or someone a little more mild but really get the point across is American Pickers. And I really like both shows. I think I like American Pickers better because it appeals to my, you know, the old crappy junk that kind of, you know, jumps out and says, ooh, I'm so cool, you know, to me. But you'll see them go and talk to somebody, and they know this item is worth, you know, $500. But the picker has to, he can't pay $500 because that's what he's going to have to sell it for. So he says, I'll give you $250 for it, or I'll give you $300 for it. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, that's so low. Well, the seller doesn't have to list it on eBay or Craigslist or open up their own shop and deal with the overhead or travel around to try to sell it. These people have come to them to sell it. You have come to your local guitar store to sell your guitar. And they have the overhead, they have the clientele, they have the people coming in. So that's where, please don't be offended whenever they lowball you. Okay? You gotta understand that they have to have at least a 20% markup on something. And I don't blame them. That's business. That's life in the big city, folks. So, and that's capitalism. Plain and clear. This isn't communism. We don't live in a communist state. That's just how money works. How you get paid at work, and you're making money, or if you have your own business, that's how it works. So, I hope that cleared things up. If there are any more questions about that or concerns, please email me. I'd be glad to readdress this portion, because I know I've had people come to me and say, I can't believe so-and-so offered me whatever. Now then, to the point of valuing your instrument, what's it going to sell for? Well, a great resource I use to start with is one, Grun's book, George Grun's book on what, you know, so that you know exactly what you have. That's very important, to know what you have before you decide to figure out what, you know, before you find out what its value is and what it would sell for and all that stuff. That's a good starting point, unless it's really easy to figure out. But a lot of vintage stuff, you know, you may need more detail. So that's a good book to have. The Vintage Guitar Price Guide is invaluable. I will say it doesn't list every single little item, because I have guitar pedals that have not been listed on there. They'll just say the brand and a price range of, you know, used to $40 to $60 or something like that. It's just really not worth it to them to dig that deep. But their main focus is vintage guitars and amps, and usually the bigger names. And even some of the ones that I think are really, really cool and they should dig deeper on, they don't necessarily. But it's really valuable, especially when you're dealing with brand name guitars that are in amps that people generally recognize. And even some that you may not. So that's a great resource. I was buying them every year. Now I'm probably just going to do every other year. Now the way they gauge their prices. Now you'll get the book and they'll tell you right in the beginning how they gauge their prices. And it's all market value. What an item is. Say you have a guitar and you're like, I know this guitar is worth $2,000. I know it is. Well, market research may show that people will only pay $1,600 for it. And you're appalled because it's $400 less than what you're thinking it should sell for. Well, the real value of anything is what anybody will pay for it. You may think that it's $2,000, worth $2,000, but if nobody will pay $2,000 for it, guess what? It's not worth $2,000. It's worth $1,600. Or in that ballpark. So anywhere around that, within $50 to $100 plus or minus, you know, whenever you're getting into that range of value. So how do you find out what the market range is for something? You know, along those lines, like I said, Vintage Guitar Magazine will make updates to the price guide each month if they find something that is sold and it's different, if it's drastically different than what is listed in the catalog or in the price guide. And you can go through there and say, oh, wow, the price for, you know, a 67 SG has gone up, or it's gone down, or whatever, you know, and I have one of those, you know. I mean, I don't really, I'd love to have one of those, but so you see where I'm going with this. They update it there, so it's another great resource. Again, I've mentioned many times that I love that magazine, and there's several other publications that are great too, that I read and thumb through and really enjoy. One of the best places, I think, gives me a nice broad range to figure out what something is worth is eBay. Now, to do what I'm going to tell you to do, you have to have an eBay account, okay? So, and I'm not sure if you have to have bought and sold several things and have a rating of whatever. I know I've bought and sold probably up to 300 items on there, and have a rating of like 170 something, because not everybody gives you ratings. I don't have any negatives, thank goodness, but you know, they're all positives, but not everybody gives ratings, and I wish they would, you know. And they've changed their policy on, you know, positives and negatives, and kind of reeling in the negatives, because some people are just unrealistic, and that's just, you know, that's just reality. People can't face reality, so then they get all upset and post negative comments about people. So you go to eBay, you're signed in, you know, and you want to know how much a 67 SG is going for. First thing is you type in 1967 Gibson SG standard. That's the guitar we're looking for. And we see what people are currently listing. If any of them are listed, that's what people are currently listing that guitar for. Okay, so then you make a note of each one of those, what they're listing it for, as like a buy it now, where it is in the bidding, if it's not a buy it now. Then over on the left-hand side, you will see a button or a checkbox that states completed listings. This is very important, because you have to be signed in, you have to have an account with eBay to see this. You see completed listings, you click on that, and then it will bring up a new page with new listings that have been done, have been completed. Out to the right hand side of each listing will be a red dollar value or a green dollar value. The green dollar value means that it has been sold, that it sold for this price. Red means this is what the auction ended at and it didn't sell. So arbitrarily we'll say this 67 was listed at $25,000 and it didn't sell. Go figure. And then another one may say be green and say that it sold for $12,000 or $8,000, depending on the condition or whatever. I'm just throwing out from what I'm kind of remembering values to be. I know they fluctuated. I haven't paid quite as much attention here last several months. And you see, okay, the majority of them are selling for this amount. And then you go, okay, well, why did this one sell so much more than that one? Well, you click on each individual. I mean, you really want to know, this is how to do it. You really want to know what the value is. You have to do your research and do your digging. So then you read the description and go, oh, this one has a cracked neck. That's why it sold for $2,000. As opposed to 12, what it should have, or whatever. And I'm not saying that a cracked neck or a cracked headstock would diminish the value that much, or a refinish or whatever. I'm just saying that those are some of the things that can make a value go down, or the perceived value of a potential buyer go down. Are those kinds of flaws, structural flaws? Those are kind of big deals for me, actually. But a refinish, not quite so much. As long as it's structurally sound. If I found a 67 SG that had been refinished with nitrocellulose lacquer, been done really well, everything's structurally sound, everything else is original, and I'm getting it for like, you know, 40% less than what it would if it were original finish, I think that's a great deal. I'd go for it, you know, if I were in the market. So then, you get a broad range there. You say, okay, I'm going to throw out the one with the cracked neck as far as my value range of the guitar that I'm wanting to sell. And then I go in and I say, okay, the range was anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000. That's pretty good. You know, that's pretty nice money. And so, you know, that's your range. Or, you know, or say you're selling, you know, your Fender Blues Jr. and you're looking and it's saying anywhere from 185 to 320 or something like that, which I don't think it'd be quite that high, because I think they go for like three something new. Anyway, they that's how I would range that. Then say you wait a week or two, you go back and you do the same thing. So you're not going, oh, well, this week, this is what it is. I'm going to sell it now. Unless you have to sell it now. If you have to go and take your guitar to the local shop or sell it on eBay or Craigslist, which I'll get to in a moment. You take your time. If you have the time to really get the best idea of what your instrument is valued, then 2 weeks later you go through the same thing. You go on eBay and you check what people are listing them for currently, and then you check and see what people are listing them for. I had a cop that just pulled up behind me and like, what in the world? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not texting. I'm just talking into a little box. So now that I was distracted, I don't know, that doesn't necessarily qualify for my first auto rant, just a little auto concern, because I'm really going with the flow of traffic, and so we passed a new law here in Indiana about no texting and driving, and I don't do that, and I don't tend to talk on the phone whenever I'm driving either, because I don't like having it up next to my ear, and I don't, you know, like having being, you know, one-handed and then say, oh, excuse me, I'm about to wreck, I need to set the phone down. Whereas if I'm recording like this, I can just set the phone down and I edit it out. Who cares? Nobody knows any different. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So, say every 2 weeks you go back in and you check what they're currently being listed for on eBay, and then what they are, what completed listings have been that are updated that weren't from when you last looked. And if you have a couple months, even better, because then you can see, you know, you can get your Vintage Guitar magazine and look and see if your guitar or amp or whatever is listed under, you know, a changed price or what they're saying it should go for in that range. Now, if it looks like it says $750 is what this thing should go for, and somebody, you know, you see it sell for $800, like, well, mine should sell for $800. Not necessarily. There's a range, like I said, you know, $50 around that, depending on condition and, you know, how the deal goes down. Are you going to sweeten the deal with some case candy, so to speak? You know, do you have some original papers with this vintage guitar or new guitar or whatever it is? There are all sorts of things that play into that. Into valuing an instrument or an amp. So now then, you have your idea, and so I'm going to say I've got this, you know, I've got this 67 SG. I know what it should sell for. I know this market range, what it's been selling for. How am I planning on selling it? Well, first off, an easy way to do it is to go and talk to your local guitar stores, go to several, and say, hey, I want to sell this, I need the money now, I know the market range is X, and I know you have a profit margin, and you figure that in, you go in, don't even mention about knowing that they have a profit margin they need to meet. Just have that in mind, keep that in mind, that they're probably going to go at least 20% below what you think the thing is valued, okay? So you think it's valued at $10,000. When they offer you $8 for it, don't scoff at it, because they have to have their margin too. And usually something of that high value, depending on what town you live in. If you're in Nashville, you know, they can possibly move that quicker. If you're in Indianapolis, it may take a while to move a guitar that's that expensive, depending on, you know, what town you're in and what shop you're at. So you go around, shop it around, and you get your offers. And if you don't mind their wholesale price, so that they can make their margin on their retail price, then go for it and sell it. If they offer to sell on consignment, then, okay, now then, another thing is their profit margin, they may lowball you by 40%. I want to throw that in there too. And don't be surprised if they offer you $6,000 for a $10,000 guitar. You know, like I said, you're getting your money now. And they have to wait for it, and they have the overhead, and it's taking up space. So anywhere in that range, that's what they're going to do. Now then, if they have a consignment plan, you can hang it on their wall for anywhere from 10 to 15% of the final sale, and you list it for $12,000. They will get their 10%. They will get their, basically, their listing fee and cover their overhead and their service to you in helping you sell your guitar. So then you pay a little less, but you don't get your money right away. They still get theirs, okay? So, and in a lot of places it used to be, locally, it used to be like, you know, 10% was their consignment fee. Most of them now have moved up from 10 to 15% and some up to 20% on their consignment fees. So, yeah, if they offer you their wholesale price for your guitar, it's more than likely going to be 40% less than that. So anyway, that's an option. I mean, you have to wait on it, and then if you're gonna list it that way, you need to figure, okay, does this guitar store meet the niche market that would be interested in a vintage, a 60s SG? Or is this store more geared to your young metalheads that want a Jackson or Ibanez or ESP or LTD guitar, something like that? You know, because a vintage guitar like that would be way out of place in a guitar shop that's full of, you know, metal-type guitars, pointy guitars and such, and vice versa. So, Or a high-end vintage guitar like that in a shop that really focuses on for lack of a better word, cheap guitars under $300. You're not going to get the same clientele. So then you have to figure that out. So Guitar Store X really focuses on the vintage market, and Guitar Store Y doesn't. There are more cheap guitars, and this other, and Guitar Store Z focuses on guitars that are for the metalheads, colored hair and pointy guitars. And so then you figure out which store would you know, have the market, have the client base who come in and see that and go, ooh, that is really cool. How much for that? So then that's an option. Selling on Craigslist. It's like the opposite of listing on eBay. You list it on Craigslist, you start at the high number because people are going to lowball you. They're gonna talk you down. You're going to do your negotiations over email or phone or text. And you're going to start out at $12,000. They come back at $8,000. You come back at, well, $11.50. And so on and so forth until you come up with a real price. Now then, you know, you only really get 4 pictures there on Craigslist for your listing. Use them wisely and offer to give them more pictures, more detailed pictures, if you text me at da 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 or email me or whatever. Be wary of some people on Craigslist. If you get an email from anybody saying, we'll send you or send us for Western, you know, funds from Western Union or whatever, wireless, anything like that, don't mess with them. Report them to Craigslist as scammers. They're going to rip you off. Don't, you know, just beware. It's not good. Not good for you, not good for anybody but them. And, unfortunately, there are people like that in the world who are wanting to rip you off. And So if you think the local guitar store are lowballing you 40% below what your guitar you think your guitar is valued, just imagine winding up selling something to somebody. You're out this piece, and then you will find out that due to the fact that you cash their check or whatever, you wind up owing so-and-so several hundred or several thousand dollars. You're out the piece, you're out the money, you're out everything, and you're not on the plus side of anything. Now, I don't want anybody in that situation, and people have been. I've seen it on forums. I received a check from somebody once saying, oh, I overpaid for such and such and da-da-da-da-da, and it was one of those, they masked it really well that they were scammers, and they're getting better at it. So be very, very, very careful. Read everything on Craigslist about scammers. They have a lot of information there that's very valuable, very good. Utilize that, but only deal with real people. And with Craigslist, I suggest only dealing with people that are local, in surrounding counties, people you can call on the phone and talk to, and you understand what they're saying, and they don't start another thing that they like to do on Craigslist is they'll start making up a sob story about mom has cancer, wife has cancer, kid has cancer, and I need the money, and da-da-da-da-da, I'm selling this. When you're buying, oh my, that's when they start, and they change their story and emails back and forth, it's because several different people, they don't know who's talked to who, and they have a team of scammers working for them to rip you off. Be very, very careful. So eBay is highly Craigslist isn't very regulated. eBay is very regulated and is the opposite. You list, say I have a guitar. I start the listing at like $10, knowing I'm going to get $300 out of this guitar. Okay. That lowers my listing price at starting point. Then, it's the opposite of Craigslist. The price isn't going to go down from there. It's only going to go up from there. So then they bid it up and, you get what you get from it. I don't like buy it nows. I don't list things for buy it now. I rarely do a buy it now if I'm purchasing, unless I know that's really the value and I need it and it's good and it's fine. You have to gauge that for yourself. Reserves. I've only listed one item for reserve and I regretted it because once it hit the reserve, that's what it sold for. And maybe the reserve was right on the money of what it was, the market value for it. Maybe not. And then again, I just wish I hadn't sold that guitar. That's one of those, seller's remorse situations where it's like, oh man, idiot. So, and again with eBay, I show the minimum amount of pictures and say, hey, if you want more pictures, let me know. Or, and I'll email you. Or if you don't mind listing all of them and paying the price for that, that's up to you. It's not a whole lot more to add photos, add a whole lot of photos to your listing. It's not a big deal. I've only run into one person who was, not very, honest on eBay, and that was back in 2001, and I wasn't, things worked out just fine. I didn't get ripped off. I bought a guitar several years ago on eBay, and when it arrived, I realized it was a fake. It was supposed to be a Tele Custom, and I looked it over and realized there were too many things saying that this was fake. And then just to double check, I took it to my local guitar shop and said, what do you think of this? And they looked at it and said, that's fake. I said, that's what I thought. And so then I contacted the seller, shipped it back, got my money back, everything was cool. So that's another thing. Something to keep in mind whenever you run into that. If they ship it to you, especially if it's U.S. Postal Service, and it's not what they stated it was on eBay, that is mail fraud. That's a federal offense, and you have that over their head. And whenever you're communicating with them, give them the benefit of the doubt. It's like, hey, you know, I don't think this is what you thought it was, and da 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 da. Don't go right to the beginning of what you've done is illegal. This is mail fraud, and I'm gonna sue. I mean, don't jump to that. That we're just too much of a litigious society right now. We don't need any more of that crap. You know, let's be real here and settle this like gentlemen, like real people, not like TV, okay? Let's live in the real world, not MTV real world, okay? So, I don't even know if that show is still on. I didn't like it anyway. So, I hope that answers some questions. Or your questions, or what you were really looking to find out about by posing this question to me. Please email me if you have more questions along this line, more specific. I tried to give a good overview. This is a really long episode, and I think I could continue talking about it, but I'd like to find out more about what you're wanting to know about. I mean, the big thing is, for me, is knowing what the value of the instrument is and what you can look to get out of it and how to find that value. And what an acceptable return on, the sale would be depending on your situation and how you want platform you want to utilize, whether it's Craigslist, eBay, or your local shop. With that, I'm going to wrap it up for today's episode of the Guitar Podcast. Please email me with questions at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Comment on the blog or show notes. If you liked what you heard today and you subscribe using iTunes or Zoom, please let them know by writing a review. Thanks for tuning in again. This is Warren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.